Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. Tonight's author on tour is Stephen Kuntz, who reads from and discusses his new book, The Assassin, published by St. Martin's. In the weeks to come, we have Brad Meltzer, Douglas Brown, and many more. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Thank you for supporting your independent bookstore, and thank you for silencing your cell phones. A former naval aviator, after leaving active duty, Stephen pursued a career in law, graduating from the University of Colorado in 1979. He wrote his first novel, Flight of the Intruder, in 1986, and the rest, as they say, is history. Please join me in welcoming the author of Assassin, Stephen Kuntz.
Well, thank you very much for coming out tonight. It's a real pleasure to be here in America's premier independent bookstore and in right in the middle of my adopted state. So it doesn't get any better than this, a Tattered Cover on a beautiful Thursday night in Colorado. I want to thank you for coming. I lived here in Colorado and up in Boulder and worked in Denver when I was writing my first novel, which was Flight of the Intruder. And it got it started in 1984, and finally had a manuscript and sent it out, and it got rejected by 34 publishers, which is basically every publisher that publishes novels in the English language turned it down. And then I saw The Hunt for Red October in a bookstore and saw it was published by this Clancy guy. And saw that the publisher was the U.S. Naval Institute, and so I sent him the book. And my whole manuscript with a three-paragraph cover letter, and said, you know, I thought they did this submarine story, maybe they'll do a flying story. And a month later, to my absolute amazement, they called me up and said, we want to publish this. Well, I was thunderstruck. I'd written in nights and weekends down at the oil company, and too many people knew about my project. And so I said, who is this really? And they gave me the right name. It was the name of the guy I'd sent it to at the Naval Institute. And I was so flabbergasted, I finally said, well, what did you like about the story? And he says, well, the flying, naturally. So anyway, they finally sent me a contract, and it was three pages, legal size, single-spaced. And it arrived, and flipped to the third page, found the X, signed my name, tore the staple out, ran it through the copy machine, made a copy for me, put the original back in an envelope, ran down to the lobby of this oil company that I was a lawyer for, and sent the original contract back to the Naval Institute. And then went up to my office to see what it was I'd signed. And as I said... As I said, I was a practicing attorney at the time, and found out that they were going to buy the book, give me $5,000 and six free copies. And I thought I'd got a fat hog right there, boy. And so finally the book came out in September 86, and lightning struck. It was on President Reagan's desk, and he was photographed with it. And the book took off and spent 28 weeks on the bestseller list. My oil company folded. They gave me my severance check, and I thought, I'm going to try to do this, you know, for a living. And I'm still telling lies and dancing between the raindrops, and it's now 22 years later, and it's sort of amazing. And I've written a lot of books. I guess Mark asked me when I came in, I think I've published 27 now. And this is my 17th or 18th novel. I've sort of lost count because one of the books I did under a pseudonym, and that's the pen name. And I did a book, it was sort of a contemporary thing, I called it The Garden of Eden, and didn't have any wild and crazy sex, just a contemporary novel sort of set in rural America. And my publisher read it, and they actually liked it, and they decided to publish it. But then as the publication date, rolled around and got about 4 months away, they called me up and said, we decided we want to put this under a pseudonym, and so we're not going to use your name on the jacket. And he said, what name do you want to use? And I thought, well, Mark Twain would be good, you know. But that was taken. So anyway, and I thought about Clancy for a while, but then finally I thought about my mother's maiden name, Violet Gadd. And I thought, well, try that. And he said, oh, that's too old-fashioned. I said, boy, I wouldn't want to tell my mom that. But anyway, I finally said, how about Eve? You know, the Garden of Eden by Eve. And they said, too cute. And so I thought it was boring. I said, well, how about Eve Adams? He said, that's still too cute. I says, gee, Willikers, what do you want? Julie Jones? And they said, okay, Eve Adams. So Eve Adams wrote the book. And I told my publicist as the book came out that if I got invited to do any signings, like here at the Tattered Cover, that I'd go to the plus size store and get myself a dress, shave my legs, and show up. But there's a long pause after I said that, and he says, I'd like to see that. But anyway, so I've done some weird stuff through the years. I also did a couple of sci-fi tales, Saucer. And Saucer actually did so well, it got on the bestseller list here. And it really revitalized my career in England. The Brits love funky stuff, as you're well aware, you know, with Harry Potter and Peter Pan and all those guys. And so they read Saucer, and they decided that was pretty cool. And it sold 10% better than any book I'd ever written. And so they wanted a sequel pretty bad, and so did my American publisher. And so I did Saucer the Conquest, about a crazy Frenchman on the moon who has an anti-gravity device and he's going to conquer the Earth. And that did pretty well. And so I've also been inundated with requests to write a third Saucer novel, but I don't know that I get my publisher all that interested. And I haven't come up with a good plot. I've done one nonfiction book, The Cannibal Queen, about flying around the United States in an old Stearman biplane, and had a lot of fun with that. Did that years ago, and in 91. God, years are slipping past. And we've done some anthologies and do a co-authored series with Jim DeFelice. The sixth and final one with Jim is out, just came out, Deep Black, The Conspiracy. And there'll be two more Deep Blacks, but I'm doing with a guy named Bill Keith. And one of them's already in the can and scheduled for publication here in a few months, Deep Black Cold War. And it's about the Russians trying to drill under the Arctic for the oil that's down there. And the good guys and the bad guys are up there under the ice doing their thing. And so it's a fun book, and we think you'll like it. The last Deep Black, which was we're working on right now, involves terrorists trying to take over a cruise ship down in the Caribbean. We thought that ought to scare everybody, all you cruisers, you know. And so we have a lot of fun with it. It's The Assassin just came out. Is a sort of a interesting story. I tried to do a story under the same name, that we were going to use the bad guys are going to hire the mafia to do terrible things in the United States. And I actually wrote the whole book, and the publisher and I decided it wasn't worth publishing. And so we threw that in the can and started in on a different take on the same characters. And it became a story about revenge. Story opens with the first chapter, or prelude, if you will, is an actual incident that I read about. It was a West Virginia corpsman, a Navy corpsman, who was attached to a Marine rifle platoon. I don't know whether you know that the Navy corpsmen are the medics for the Marines, and the Marines have no medics of their own. They use naval hospitalmen, HMs. And so This particular corpsman tries to, with this Marine sergeant, tries to pull a woman that's been shot out of a car that has a bomb in it. And the bomb goes off and kills the corpsman. In the book, the corpsman's killed. In real life, the corpsman actually lived and was awarded the Bronze Star for valor. And so I saw that, and I thought, well, you know, that's a good way to start a book, but we'll have to change it some. instead of being a kid from West Virginia with his parents are coal miners, how about this guy, kid is the son of a rich industrialist, and the rich industrialist wants revenge, and revenge against the people that actually lead Al-Qaeda and the Osama bin Ladens of the world. And so he gets the president of the United States, a friend of his. He talks to him about his plan to fund a private army to go after these generals, wherever they happen to be. And, of course, the president turns it over to the CIA and Jake Grafton. And Jake Grafton notices that one of the people involved is the mother-in-law of a woman that he believes is the daughter of one of these terrorists that the United States wants. And so he tries to figure out why this woman is involved in this. And so that's the story of an attempt to catch a terrorist. And I won't ruin it for you. I want you to read the book and be surprised at the endings. And we think the book worked out pretty well. And you'll be the first to know. I got an email here two days ago, from a Hollywood producer who wants to talk to my agent about the film rights for this book. And so that's a real plus. And my first novel, Flight of the Intruder, was made into a movie. And Saucer was actually optioned for the movies, and the option expired without the producer doing anything. But so anyway, getting this guy is a bona fide Hollywood producer-director, and he can actually get a movie made and get the people, the big money guys, to listen to him if he comes to him and says, I want to make a movie out of this book. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Nothing's happened so far, and other than he's expressed an interest and it's been referred to the agents. But got me all excited, and so we'll see. Maybe they'll make a movie out of the assassin. So what's next? I'm working on a story with my wife's help. She's the plot guru, and the story is called The Atomic Ayatollah. It's about nuclear weapons in Iran and Ahmadinejad and the bomb and all that stuff. I think that a lot of people are pretty worried when they look at the headlines and about these the Islamic Republic of Iran trying to get enough nuclear weapons on long-range missiles to destroy Israel. And that's, you know, especially when they say their goal is to destroy Israel. And so that's enough to make you think. And so that's what the book's about. I'm scribbling away frantically trying to get it done. I'm behind deadline as usual. And that doesn't cause them a lot of angst in New York. They know I'm always behind. So anyway. And so that'll be next, and then I'm under contract for one additional thriller, and I don't know what that'll be about yet. We think it'll probably be about the new Cold War with Russia, and as you've probably been reading about the Russians grabbing a little bit of the former Soviet Georgia, and now an independent country, and sort of reminiscent of Hitler's grab of the Sudetenland and Austria and Czechoslovakia and those countries. And I don't know that there's a whole lot anybody can do about it, and unless we want to declare World War III over Soviet Georgia, and most people aren't that interested. So anyway, that's going to be an interesting scenario, and we'll see what happens. And I have tons of ideas for books. The problem is getting them all written and having a life at the same time. Thank you for coming tonight. I'll be delighted to sign any books you brought that's got my name on them or Eve Adams' name on them. Okay.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fode, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks for Brad Meltzer, Douglas Brown, and many more as we podcast Authors on Tour. This podcast was originally recorded on September 4th, 2008.